Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. I will be reading the article, Consciousness and the Brain, that I wrote in December 2013. This is based on Mark Passio's podcasts 1 and 2. Just as the previous readings on truth and solipsism were based on mostly on Mark Passio's information from his podcast and some additional stuff that I added. Consciousness and the Brain will also have some additional information added. The content is the importance of understanding consciousness and mind control, the two foundational qualities of consciousness, the three from the one, which are thoughts, emotions, and actions, and the physiological expression of the three aspects of consciousness, which are the brainstem, reptile, hindbrain, limbic, mammal, midbrain, and the neocortex, human, forebrain. Consciousness is awareness of our reality. It is not simply being awake from being asleep as most people view it, as one can be awake but still asleep and ignorant of the spiritual journey and path towards truth. The more we observe, experience, and come to know aspects of what is the truth, the more our awareness of that which exists increases, and as a result, our consciousness will expand. This allows us to recognize, correlate, compare, and correspond patterns and meaning in more and more of these things that exist as we become more aware of them. Increasing awareness increases consciousness, and the correspondences and pattern linking we discover paints a larger picture to understand the world we live in and ourselves more deeply. This expansive force that brings us to greater heights of comprehension and consciousness is the force of love in its true essence. Reality, what is, truth, is what brings about greater awareness and consciousness and allows us to care more about what is happening in the world and ourselves, to eventually come to a place of right action based in true intelligence of understanding our situation correctly. This expansive force of consciousness is love. Truth is love. Love is truth. The more we see with our real eyes, the more we realize the truth, and the more we expand our love and consciousness. The importance of understanding consciousness. The next section. Consciousness is the solution to the problems of deception and manipulation that results in external control over our lives. The degree to which we see with clarity is proportional to our level of consciousness. To be in lower base levels of awareness is to be wandering in the dark. Lower vibrational states of consciousness prevent one from being able to accurately discern between truth and falsity. Every problem contains the seeds to its own solution. The solution to a lower base level vibratory frequency of consciousness is to raise consciousness to a higher level. This is how we get out of our current modality of consciousness, our current modality of being. Recognizing patterns and meaning with respect to events taking place around and within us is a central component to reaching higher levels of awareness, specifically the internal patterns that take place within the body, mind, and feelings. We must learn to recognize not only the who, when, where, what, but also the how and why. Asking the question why is a fundamental element in learning about the reality of what is. Why is getting to the nature of a condition, situation, event, or problem. So this is an inscription attributed to Pythia, an oracle at the temple of Apollo in Delphi, Greece, where mystery traditions were studied and reflected upon. Heed these words, you who wish to probe the depths of nature. If you do not find within yourself that which you seek, neither will you find it outside. If you ignore the wonders of your own house, how do you expect to find other wonders? In you is hidden the treasure of treasures. Know thyself, and you will know the universe and the gods. This is just emphasizing the importance of self-knowledge knowledge of the self, which is knowledge of the true self, which is knowledge of morality. It's all about morality. Just to give you a spoiler about all my work. It's always all about morality. Understanding the individuated unit of consciousness that constitute a part of the universe promotes an understanding of the universe as a whole. The principle of correspondence applies in many ways. We can use the concept of as above, so below, as below, so above, to help us grasp truths about ourselves and the universe. To know thyself is also known as self-knowledge, self-actualization, self-realization, self-awareness, as well as knowledge of the higher true self. And also, the as above, so below correspondence is also analogies, and that's how we can come to grasp truths. It doesn't mean it's an automatic truth. When you have an analogy and an as above, so below correspondence, it means there's a possible truth that you need to investigate further. Understanding ourselves is the solution to our problems. The first step to finding a solution to a problem is acquiring knowledge in order to understand the core nature of the problem that manifests the conditions we would prefer not to have. The root causal factor for our suffering is lack of knowledge of ourselves. We don't know enough about consciousness, how our minds and emotional makeups function. This is another perfect scenario for those who wish to manipulate and control our behavior through deception, just as solipsism allows. Having knowledge about how the human mind, psyche, and consciousness function provide one with an advantageous position to exercise control over others who are ignorant about themselves. We have to understand ourselves more, what is going on in human consciousness, how it functions, what are its qualities, how it manifests, and how it has an expression through the physiology. Consciousness and mind control. A manipulator can dangle an appealing and comforting lie in front of us as bait, and we will buy into it hook, line, and sinker. But we must honestly ask ourselves some questions. Is it all their fault? Do we have any responsibility? Is it just simply that we are living according to their lies? Or did we buy what they were selling willingly? People do not want the responsibility for everything that goes with living in existence. We are so demanding for someone else to take responsibility, think, and solve our problems for us. We abdicate our personal responsibility for many things, and most importantly of all is our personal responsibility to understand the truth. We are sold the deception, but it was something many of us wanted to buy. Consciousness can be raised or manipulated through knowledge. Manipulation of consciousness is mind control. When someone does not understand how mind control functions, they are ignorant of it and therefore do not have the tools to prevent themselves from actively being manipulated. Ignorance of something disempowers and makes you a tool to it. Deceived, manipulated, fooled, tricked, duped, conned, scammed, screwed, bamboozled, hoodwinked, and under its thumb. Knowledge about something prevents you from buying into lies and empowers you to make the right choices, decisions, and actions. Living in harmony and alignment with truth is not what is occurring when we are being manipulated and controlled. We must learn the methodologies of mind control in order to not be deceived as we currently are. Most of the methodologies of mind control are in operation all around us, and they are implemented on a mass scale, hence they are mass mind control as opposed to a Hollywood-induced conception like a Manchurian candidate brainwashing, which does occur, but that's not the type of mind control that we're necessarily talking about here. Not overt mind control, but this covert mass mind control of the public consciousness. Mass mind control programs fundamental axioms into people, which are the core belief systems that people take into themselves as true and then live their lives, behave, and act in accordance with. That's in the Truth article, deals with axioms. Understanding language and the words we use is the biggest part of mind control. Neuro-linguistic programming makes use of language through specific word choice and speech patterns to embed ideas into people's consciousness so that they behave according to predetermined outcomes. Symbolism is an archetypal language that most of us are vulnerable to being manipulated by at a subconscious level because we do not understand the building blocks and syntax of this particular language. Archetypal language is based on the use of frequencies of sound, color, shapes, and forms, and can be used to influence our thoughts and subvert our consciousness. Mind control is consciousness control through the manipulation of the three experiential forms of consciousness. The next section is the two foundational qualities of consciousness. Here's an image of a yin-yang symbol that I made. And we have a quote from the Kybalion. Gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles. Gender manifests on all planes. The sacred masculine and sacred feminine of consciousness are qualities that may seem to be polar opposites but are actually unified to form the whole of consciousness. Various traditions attribute different characteristics referring to the same source. The sacred feminine is personified as the lunar goddess. This aspect is known as yin, internal, passive, intuitive, compassionate, submissive, and is associated with the right brain hemisphere, the moon or lunar aspect, night, darkness, the womb and mother. It is directly related to our emotions, which are the internal quality of consciousness within us. The sacred masculine is symbolized by the solar god. This is the yang, external, active, analytical, logical, dominant, etc., and is associated with the left brain hemisphere, the sun or solar aspect, the light and father. The internal feminine principle is not very active, while the external masculine principle is the more active quality. The active energy is how we manifest our consciousness to others in the world. This is how we show ourselves to others and how others show themselves to us. As they say, you will know them by their actions. I have a saying that goes, the more you say, the more you do, the more I see of you. So it's a little rhyme, but that's how I go by actions, not by what people say, because people are often liars. And also a note on the symbolism of the masculine and feminine. It's very interpretive. Depends on how you want to trace origins, and you'll determine that the masculine is light and the feminine is dark. You can also interpret it differently, and the feminine is light and the masculine is dark, because the feminine is non-violent and the masculine is violent. So that's dark, and light isn't violence. So it depends on how you want to see it, and I'll be getting into that in future work on Egyptian symbolism that I think is the source for everything in terms of what was written down in symbols as a progression from oral traditions in the past. Whatever civilizations existed before, they recorded it as symbols. All this knowledge was recorded in Egypt through symbols, and it wasn't arbitrary phallic worship and all these things. There's actual meaning behind it. They don't just build things to worship penises. There's actual knowledge behind these symbols. So I had previously fallen into the whole, oh, it's all phallic origin, but there's two sides to the story, and it's not as simple as, well, the light is masculine, the dark is feminine, and all these qualities. You can see these qualities, but it's not necessarily the only way to symbolize the masculine and feminine. That's my point. I will move on. In our efforts to raise our level of consciousness, we must strive to bring these two qualities into balance and unison with each other. We accomplish this by becoming beings that as we think, so we feel, so we act. Our thoughts, emotions, and actions are not in contradiction, opposition, conflict, or duality with each other, but are unified, non-dual, and acting as one. If someone thinks or feels something is morally wrong, yet acts against one or both of those manifestations of consciousness, they are in internal opposition with themselves, fighting against themselves, against their own consciousness. Satan is the opposer, the adversary, and that is the state we put ourselves in when we contradict ourselves internally, regardless of the justifications or excuses we fabricate to lie to ourselves into accepting what we are doing. This is the main reason for why we are in our current condition of not expanding our consciousness. We create our own suffering collectively in all the ways we go against ourselves and go against natural moral law. The next section is the three from the one. I have an image I recreated from Mark Passio's Trinity of Consciousness, where he has thoughts on the bottom, emotions on the right, and actions on the left. And thoughts are mind, creative essence, father, the spirit is the sacred feminine, the mother, and the actions are the sun, and the sacred masculine, and the body. As we increase our self-knowledge, we increase our consciousness, and vice versa. Expanding our consciousness through the ability to recognize patterns of information will increase our self-knowledge. The more we become aware of what is taking place within and around us, and the more connections, correspondences, patterns, and meaning we come to recognize, the more our consciousness expands, and the more we learn about ourselves, hence self-knowledge increases. I also have an image of a remade, more complex version of the Trinity of Consciousness, where I delve into the multi-layered aspects of consciousness symbolism. So that is to say, within thoughts, there are the three aspects. Within emotions, there's the three aspects. And within actions, there's the three aspects. And the three aspects would be red for active, blue for passive, and green for unified or generative. And you can see how I color code things. So the thoughts have the most of the three, since they're the essence point. The emotions have more blue, and the actions have more red. But they all have aspects of the three components. That's why it's multi-layered symbolism. Consciousness consists of a dual nature between the masculine and feminine components, as represented through each individual unit of consciousness, often referred to as the monad, the one that is an expression of the all. While each of us may be a part of a unified ocean of consciousness, we are still individual unique expressions of consciousness. Each individual unit of consciousness has three forms of manifestation or expression in our reality: thoughts, emotions, and actions. The original image above is based on one from Mark Passio. I have created a more complex version to the left that will visually show the various facets of the three manifestations of consciousness, unity, and gender principles. It might be confusing unless you already understand the color symbolism and the information to follow in this article. So as I said, the image that I made more complex into multi-layered symbolism, if you don't understand the various aspects that I'm talking about, it'll be very confusing as to what it means. So I think learning about the information and then going back to the image will allow you to understand the image, the infographic, more accurately. So the subsection, thoughts. Thought activity is a fundamental basis of the two internal manifestations of consciousness. Thoughts are the primary expression, emanation, or essence symbolized by the creator aspect. Hence, there is the concept of the universe is mental and made of thought energy. All experience comes from the past as a thought source creative essence. Any series of events or invention we make first existed as a thought in the mind or consciousness of the people who made it occur. For example, someone first thought about the need for an eating instrument and then proceeded to create a fork, spoon, etc. Thought arose first. The creator is symbolized as a father for this reason. Within thought activity, there is still the sacred masculine and feminine component through the characteristics of the left and right brain. So I just want to mention, you can view thought as the father, but you can more properly view it as... That's why I say the symbolism. This is using the symbolism from Mark Passio, which is based on Hermeticism. The Hermetic tradition is supposed to be related to Thoth in Egypt, but as I'm uncovering, there are some very big differences in types of interpretations. In my understanding, as something that comes first is generative, and only females give birth, they generate, so it's feminine. Thoughts are feminine, they're not masculine. This is where I'm changing all my understanding of symbolism now. Well, I'm applying a different perspective to it because symbolism is multi-layered, and it depends on what system you're using. You can un-decode different meanings from the same symbol. So I view thoughts not as a father, and that it, and if you view them as my later work shows that thoughts and emotions are the internal capacity and actions are the external, well then actions are the masculine and thoughts and emotions are the feminine one. So that's as I later progressed and developed my work. So I'm just mentioning the point that symbolism can be tricky and you have to look at it. For the symbolism to make sense within a framework, you have to keep it within that framework. If you go and mix around frameworks, well, then you'll end up with thought is masculine and thought is feminine. Thought's the father, but it's also the mother. See, and it doesn't make any sense. You can't have contradiction. That's because there's two different frameworks used as a reference for the symbolism and attempt to express it through language. So we gotta keep them separate. So I'm keeping the old Maasian Egyptian symbolism, which I'll be getting into in the future. Gotta keep that separate from the Hermetic altered variations, which might have come from Babylon, and I don't know where it's come from. I haven't looked into it much, but there's a big difference in interpretive methodologies. The next subsection is emotions. Emotions are the second internal aspect of consciousness that we expect with that we express within our body through the physical makeup in the form of sensations, feelings, and body language. Thought activity energy passes through our body and is then expressed through our physiology as a feeling in response to consciousness manifestations in our environment and in ourselves. Correlating with the creator symbolism of the Father, emotions are the Holy Spirit or Divine Mother in the Trinity of Consciousness. And I'll also mention that that's why it's the Father, because it's correlated with the biblical aspect and Allah, and it's all the religions who have morphed the feminine aspect into a masculine aspect, and that's why we have these confusions in symbolism in the different frameworks. Because there's an original one, and then there's an altered one which corrupted the original meanings. The next subsection, actions. The marriage between the divine father creator thought and divine mother emotional energies of consciousness create a divine child of action, a synthesis or byproduct that manifests as the things we do in the world, our behavior. We now see the trinity of the creator father, divine mother, holy spirit, and the divine male child completed. There is also the trinity of the body mind spirit connection, where our body represents action, our mind represents thought, and our spirit represents emotion in the sense that our emotions are the spirit in which we do things. The Trinity concept is represented in different traditions under the name of the Law of Three or the Triune, three-in-one aspect of consciousness. I'd also like to mention again, we can clearly see how this is symbolically related to the Bible. And the Bible's been altered, and it's been altered from the original symbolic teachings from many, many thousands of years ago that then got into other people's hands, and then these people left Egypt, and then they got into captivity by Babylon, and then their work got altered even more and more. And that's what the Bible is. Alterations and alterations and alterations, and you got to go back to the original symbol itself and figure out what it means in relation to reality itself, not in relation to a dogmatic doctrine, to a story, a narrative created by some people who went through enslavement and oppression and all these other things, and had their beliefs altered in captivity. Anyways, all the evidence there, you just need to look into Zoroastrianism. You can look into Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul of Tarsus, and all of the subversion of Christianity and how it was created. The Babylonian captivity, how the Sadducees were replaced by Pharisees, and the Pharisee and Farsi from a place in Iran, which is where the Persians come from back then. This was related to all the empires that kept taking over the Levant area. You got the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Romans. That area of the Levant, where you have Syria, Israel, Jordan, all that, that's been it's a hotbed in history, or alleged history anyways. But there's been stuff going on there for lots and lots of time. Anyways, that's enough of a tangent talking about whatever. To continue, following only the, quote, heart without taking the, quote, brain with you is not the path of truth and love, yet many people mistakenly believe this in the pseudo-spiritual and New Age movements and belief. This is the concept of thought, thinking, mind, logic, etc. becoming a, quote, negative in favor of more heavy right brain modalities of being. So that was just a little paragraph on the bullshit about how your thoughts are bad, and how the mind is bad, and it's all a negative, and you gotta stop being in the mind, and go in the heart, and all these things are just vague, ambiguous, obfuscated descriptions that do not even give you an understanding of what you're actually doing, or what they're even asking you to do. They're just using brain and heart, they're not relating it to anything real, and then you're going to associate it with emotions. So yeah, go live in your emotions and don't live in your mind. Yeah, don't discern reality with logic. Just feel your way through. That's going to work real good. Not, in case you haven't figured that out, I suggest you go learn on emotional mind control and how emotions are completely related to thinking. And when you're going to degrade and degenerate your own thinking capacity and devolve yourself in your ability to discern reality, well, then your emotions aren't going to be a guide as to anger and falsity in reality. They're just going to be a manipulation to keep you in a positivity mask of optimism bias, so that you don't use your thoughts and your mind that makes you worry and see what's wrong and the negative and the corruption in yourself and in the world. God forbid we'd actually have to heal and do some hard work. So the image I have here about thought, emotion, and action is the basic functioning, eating, sleeping, breathing. That's the brainstem, the reptilian. It's all the basic stuff. So when the event comes in, we have thinking and feeling, the limbic system and the cerebral cortex, and this goes in a loop, a feedback loop, because feeling is completely dependent on thinking. You can't have an emotional response or understand what you can have an emotional response, but in order to characterize it, in order to understand you're even having it, in order to process it in your body, thought is involved. So thought is always involved, even in emotions. So it's always a feedback. And this little diagram that someone made just demonstrates that. Other than with the Trinity of Consciousness, where I have thoughts and emotions with a feedback arrow. And you can see it, I guess, more visually inside the mind, inside the brain, I mean, physiologically. The next section is the physiological expression of the three aspects of consciousness. Understanding certain basic structures and functionality of the human brain is part of the discovery of self. Many of us do not understand what the components of the brain are, how they work, and what they give rise to with respect to qualities of our personality, ego, identity, construct. Understanding the human brain is to understand a core aspect of ourselves and is critical for our understanding of what is going on in the world. Our species is gifted simply by possessing a brain of the order and magnitude that we have. So here's an image I remade from Mark Passio's version. So I just went and found, I think it's the same brain image that he used, but I recolored it myself and I relabeled it with different things. So we have the neocortex, the higher order thinking, and I just want to mention that even though the other ones, I'll start the other way. The brainstem for survival, the reptilian complex, the law obsessed dominator, the father god. We're reversing it now. Now we're going, instead of thoughts, emotions, actions, now we're going through the physiological aspect, which has the dominator god as the father in biblical aspects as the lowest possible. Then you have emotions, the Holy Spirit, the sacred feminine as the limbic brain for mammals. And then you have the alleged human neocortex, which is what I want to make the correction on. Not only humans have neocortex. Many, many, many other types of animals have a neocortex. So it's not exclusive to humans, but it is responsible for higher order thinking, which is why animals of the mammalian kind are higher order capacity beings compared to the lower animals that are not mammals. So the neocortex is the higher order thinking, and it's symbolized as the divine child, the light savior of the world, because that's how we evolve consciousness, or that's responsible for our ability to evolve consciousness to higher capacities of comprehension, because that is what will save us and the world, is our higher order consciousness, and not the lower modalities of simply living by emotions or through instinct of stimulus response of the reptilian R complex. Symbolism operates on many levels, layers, and depth. Rigidly applying rules in one direction will prevent us from perceiving greater revelations through the frequencies of color and shape being used, which is what I'm talking about here, about how we're reversing the order of, instead of thought, emotion, action, now we're reversing the order in some way. And just as I mentioned before with the Egyptian symbolism and Hermetic symbolism, they're not the same. So you can't stay in rigid brain lock or mind lock, not brain lock, but the mind or consciousness. You can't lock it within a certain perspective of looking at symbols. Taking another symbolic look at the components of a trinity based on the father, mother, and child, we can see how the Christian narrative is represented by the hindbrain, limbic, and forebrain, respectively. The reptile survival hindbrain is the law-obsessed dominator god from the Old Testament. The mammalian emotional brain is the sacred feminine Holy Spirit. The neocortex higher order thinking brain is the divine savior and light of the world. And that would be Jesus. So you have Father God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, the Son. So when you do the prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, well, that's the name of the Father, the Son, and the Mother, the Trinity. The next subsection is the brainstem reptile hindbrain. The brainstem can be considered the foundation and hence the oldest and lowest part of the brain. The brainstem and cerebellum are responsible for physical activity, motor skills, and the instinct for survival or the fight or flight mechanism. In a dangerous situation, a decision needs to be made between staying and fighting or fleeing to survive. In a dangerous situation, a decision needs to be made between staying and fighting or fleeing to survive. The heart will pump blood towards the areas of the body that require it. Blood will be pumped away from the vital organs to the torso and brain because a fight or flight response of survival to fight or run away requires blood to be sent to the areas of priority, which are the extremities, either your arms or your legs, running or fighting. When we are trying to survive, we are not going to be thinking about deep, higher order conceptual ideas, nor do we need to be doing much digestion or other intensive functions of other organs. Our richly oxygenated blood will be sent to our muscles, such as the arms, to be yielded as weapons if we have decided to stay and fight, or to the leg muscles for us to be able to flee the situation. This functionality is effective for fending off an attacker. However, in our modern society, we are not in many dangerous situations where we physically need to make a decision to fight or flee, yet this mechanism is activated frequently because we are often engaged in stressful activities. This beneficial survival technique has become a detriment in modern society because we engage and remain in this modality of consciousness for a large portion of the time. Our lifestyle is hectic and busy, from one thing to the next, without having much time in between the various activities we occupy our lives with. A job, children, traffic, other people, other daily activities. Always being busy and having all of your time occupied is also known as stress. This creates a construct whereby responsibilities of adhering to a scheduled way of living traps a person in a survival modality of being with no standard ability to fight or flee from the situation presented. This causes harm to other structures of the brain. The next subsection is the limbic mammal midbrain. This is the middle brain that is responsible for the chemical interactions through which we experience our emotions as feelings, and despite emotions not being derived from here, without this middle chamber of the midbrain, we would not feel emotions. Mammals display physiological reactions of emotional states that reptiles do not show. Reptiles are more instinctual and based in survival, and are where we get the term of being a cold-blooded person. So I'll just mention that it's not saying that reptiles don't have emotions, they just don't display them physiologically compared to mammals. Also, this middle chamber is where it's often referred to as well. The midbrain is where we get the chemical interactions. It's not where the emotions are derived from, but it's because of this aspect of our brains that we're able to experience physiological feelings from the emotions that we are induced with through our consciousness and thoughts. The next section, the last subsection, the neocortex human forebrain. The neocortex is the most developed part of the brain, containing the most neural activity and manages all higher order thinking. The cerebrum is bilaterally symmetrical, being divided into the left and right cerebral hemispheres. The left brain is symbolic of the masculine principle and is related to the thought functionality of logic, analysis, science, mathematics, language, and the use of words. The right brain relates to the feminine qualities of holistic thought, intuition, creativity, art, music, and all other forms of creative expression. And then I have an image with the left and right brain showing some characteristics. And I just want to make a side note. I've done some research in it, but I've never made a post on the left and right brain. These are general characteristics of predominant functionality in one modality and one side or the other, but the capacities are shared throughout the whole brain. So creativity goes out through the whole brain. Imagination goes out through the whole brain. Logic goes out through the whole brain. Analysis goes out through the whole brain. It's just the most activity can often be found on one side or the other, because there's a predominant base in the brain for certain activity. Not that it's only located there. It goes throughout. The whole brain works together. This triune component of the brain is set up as a hierarchy of three different aspects of being into one, and information is processed in a certain way if the functionality between these layers is operating correctly. Proper functionality means the cerebral hemispheres are cooperating together, balanced, unified, harmonious, coherent, consistent, and integrated, as can be demonstrated through EEG coherence, where neural and synaptic activity is distributed throughout both hemispheres. The forebrain is the executive command center of the whole brain, responsible for our reasoning capabilities to determine how we use our actions in harmony with our thoughts and emotions. Having a balanced neocortex without one side dominating over the other allows a person to become capable of higher order conceptual thinking and reasoning behavior, which is governed through our ability to recognize patterns and derive meaning. The neocortex is the most advanced computer that exists and the most complex substance we know of in the universe, and therefore our greatest gift. The feminine midbrain that governs emotion sends data upwards to the masculine reasoning processing center of the brain, both to the logical, analytical, masculine left brain and creative, intuitive, feminine right brain, which then sends signals down to the motor centers of the brain complex, referred to as the reptile brain, in order for our actions and behavior to be based on higher order reasoning and not automated responses based on instinct and survival. Failure to understand how we function as a component of who we are places us in a position where we are susceptible to manipulation and mind control. Understanding the basic functionality of the brain brings us closer to becoming a being that governs ourselves and less subject to the influence of those attempting to commandeer our mind and behavior. That's the end of the article. The next one I'll be reading is Consciousness and the Cerebral Hemispheres, which I think is the fourth article. And thank you very much for your attention. Have a nice day. Take care. Peace.